Mr. Martin Parker, Reel One. If I could ask you first of all, Mr. Parker, could you tell me about your life before the war? What, you know, your, what work you did and the sort of family?
I worked in an office of electrical engineers in the importing from abroad that Cornell did manufacture enough electrical cables. So this was my, I knew the trade through and through. And this was the trade I did later on my own here, from this house. I got to know the Polish industry, the English industry. But when my late father-in-law died, he was smoking cigarettes, one from the other, non-stop. Was buying cigarettes by the thousands. So he killed himself. And had a month of operation, and he lived, this lived, somewhere else, and then he got to the men's part, and they killed him. And he died in 1935. And there was nobody to take over the business. Then he had a son left who worked as a sewing machine mechanic, but the father knew that he was not intelligent enough to do something else. That's why he gave him this. That's why I had to take over the business. And I increased the business, improved, because I got new customers and so on. And I had also bought a motor lorry, which later on was very important during the war. Before the war broke out, I knew this was happening. I survived the First World War, so I knew the problems, and I bought and sent to my mother-in-law, because there was a telephone. I didn't have a telephone. We moved there as well. And 2 tons of potatoes, 3 tons of coal, I remember it, 100 kilos sugar, 100 kilos flour. So there was no question of being hungry. Was a suffered hunger in the First World War. And this was helped us a lot in the war, because I'll tell you what later. And it was when the war broke out, my brother-in-law, who was helping me in the business, was taken to the army. But he didn't give me my uniform. They didn't have uniforms prepared. They didn't give my gun. And also, Poland was not good to us as Jews. Then the Burgomaster of Warsaw said, on the 7 day of war, follow everybody who can carry arms, follow the army to the east. We went as far as Lublin, which is about 100 kilometers from Warsaw. Stayed a few days and followed further. We went up to the Ukraine, Kobel. The worst was we didn't have salt, and we couldn't buy bread, because everybody wanted salt. If you have salt, bake for you, cook a chicken for you. Until one day in Kobel, I went out to see the place, and just near the town I saw wagons, goods wagons, open. And there I found a lot of bread, lying, military bread. It was green already, you see, from lying. But we took it to our landlady, they didn't have ovens every house and put in the oven the fresh, in fresh bread, and had plenty for it to eat. Eventually, we had to go back. It was no point to go further, because I met Germans already on the way. Because there was agreement that Poland would be divided into two parts, up to the Bug, River Bug, for the Russians, up in the other side, from to Bosnia, etc., up to the River Bug to the Germans. So we had to cross it to the Germans and come back home. And came back home, couldn't go back, because Warsaw was not taken. Warsaw was defending itself. And eventually it was taken on the 27th day of the war, 27th of September, 1939. Warsaw was taken. And after a few days, hearing Warsaw was already under the Germans, we started going back. And we came back about 7 days later, 6 days later. And many houses were destroyed. And in the house where my mother-in-law lived, it was my wife and my child, we saw 7 incendiary bombs lying side by side. They fell down onto the house. It's a corner house. It was dangerous. I didn't realize this. And none of the bombs came off. A miracle. In the house lived about 52 tenants, a square inside the yard. It was a miracle. I couldn't understand. None of the 7 bombs in St. Vincent of both the sides like this, and in diameter like this, more or less. And none of them went off. And that when they made properly or something happened, miracle, I don't know. I don't believe actually miracles, but. And later I found out from my wife the difficulties they went through during the war. Because all the canalization was destroyed, more or less. They had to carry water from a mile away. My poor wife had to carry a bucket of water, and by the time she came home, half of it went out.
So your wife and daughter were left in Warsaw, were they? Yes. Did you expect the German invasion, do you think? Were you growing aware?
I was afraid of it. As a matter of fact, I didn't want to have children. Because I knew what Hitler can do. I heard already in the press and from other people who survived. Then they in Germany were kicked out. I heard a lot. I simply won't have children, but you can't abstain from it because you have to have some children. One daughter. We had a son as well, but was stillborn. My wife couldn't carry children. She had inside a growth on her finger, which was growing at the same time as the baby. And that's why it pushed out the baby. First time. Second time she had the child in 7 months. It was very difficult to bring her up because she had to be kept in cotton wool for half a year. And the room was Polish in Warsaw, they had ovens from top to bottom. Rooms in the heating, 2 rooms. It was so hot in the house when I came, I took off my jacket and tearing up my sleeves because of things.
Yes, having sort of worried about the Germans, you were saying how you brought in food expecting another war. Did you make any other precautions regarding your financial affairs?
There was no way of going abroad and staying there. You could go, say, for a trip and stay there a few days, but eventually you'd say to England or another country. I would have to go back. I didn't know when. Couldn't go. Some people did it. A friend of mine, she was, two friends of mine, she were in England at the time the war broke out, and they stayed here. But this is not easy with a child which is 3 years old. How can you go there? Where? You have to have facilities for the babies, orphanages. So there was no option. My younger brother-in-law, just finished university, says the chemistry studied in Rosenberg. I sent the guys, single men, go to Russia. Because a lot of you went to Russia. And I didn't want to go to Russia, of course. I knew the Russians, first of all, will give us hard work. And my wife didn't be able to work. She wasn't strong enough. Although mentally she was very strong, but physically she was not. My mother-in-law was an old woman. She was 62, 63, 64. How could I go? And my brother-in-law, but he married just before the war. The one who was a sewing machine mechanic, he stayed here also.
Were you aware of Hitler's anti-Semitic policies?
Very much so. But we never believed for a moment that he would kill us. Nobody thought of it as a possibility, because it's not human. But he was not human either. My partner, Mr. Idzikowski.
Oh, could you just leave that? No, please don't touch that. There we are. That's right, thanks.
My partner came to me once, the proposition. A tailor in my house, living in the same house where we lived, knew him, introduced him to me. He came to me with a proposition to smuggle butter, cheese, because he had family in the various villages, buy and bring it in England. I said to him, look, I have a better proposition for you. I was told that the factory of paper, I was dealing with the paper factory, that they can't deal with them anymore. They had a commissioner, it was a Jewish factory, can't deal with them anymore. So there was one Jew still there who taught the people, the newcomers, how it functions, the whole business. He promised me he would teach in droves, tell him what to do, what not to do. And he went there, introduced himself, not knowing us at all. And he got the business. He gave paper, sold himself. But that wasn't all. Then still we're in the open. He used to come to us. And he lived in the same street, at the end of the street where I lived in Warsaw. He had a small house of his own with 12 tenants. That was his house. He was an intelligent man. Before the war, he was a secretary of a union, some bakers or someone, I don't know what. Intelligent. Anyhow, I got to know him. I said, I have to take this. He said, okay, he said. And he took it. He did business.
What did he take?
The business. He gave my business. I gave my car, the lorry as well. But the lorry, I couldn't have the lorry. Germans would confiscate. He registered it in his name.
What was his name?
Idzikowski. Polish name. Idzikowski.
So what was the arrangement you made with him?
He will give out some income.
He would give you some what?
Income. Was always some profit in the business to give us some profit. He never gave us anything. But to save our lives, that's very important.
How were you being affected by the sort of German invasion?
At the beginning, the first half a year or so, I didn't feel anything, but the Germans were on the streets, and from time to time they beat up somebody, a Jew, who was Jewish. And the Poles were cooperating with Germans and pointed out, Jude. They didn't know who was. Eventually, there was an order to wear here a band with a Jewish mark. This is the Star of David, they call it. It is like two triangles, one converted, one to the other. Looks like this. You know what?
Yes, I know the Star of David, yes.
It was a white band with a blue sign of David. If it was an order, you have to wear it if you're Jewish. And if you don't wear it, you can be punished very severely, including death penalty. A hymn was for it, but that was nothing. And also those who were Christians, Jews, American Jews, Christians. One was, I got to know him later, he was a judge in the High Court in Warsaw. His wife, he met a Christian. Polish, fantastic. His Polish was very good. He also had to go into the ghetto. When the ghetto was still open, then until the walls were built, we had to could go where we wanted. But some restaurants, as I said, for Jews entry in Polish, for Jews entry not allowed, something like that.
Could you tell me about the area that was later to be the ghetto?
Fortunately, we lived in a Jewish area. Gates are here, and on the left and right, on the right hand side, you will find what happened otherwise in the world.
Yes, but really, I would like your own memory of you know, what you can remember is more important.
When the Germans came to Warsaw, and then the Jewish area that pointed, and the war when they made the arrangement. A year after arrival, or longer, I can see from here.
Yes, we can get the dates. Don't worry about the dates, because I can mark those in. It's better for you just to relax and tell me, I think.
About a year and a half or after the Germans arrived in Warsaw, they started making limits on our movements. They started building a wall around the ghetto. And the it was about 7 feet high with broken glass on top. So it makes it difficult to get out. And there were about 6 or 7 gates in various parts of the ghetto. You could go out if you got a pass from some authorities in the ghetto. You had to have a permit to go out. And I managed to get myself arranged, attached to a factory, making things for the Germans.
Honestly.
Built a wall around the ghetto, and they had, as I mentioned, gates, some of them. And you could only get out, as I said, only when he had a permit. He could come back only with his permit. But I managed to get from Mr. Jukowski a permit. Why? Because there was not a lot of paper to be sold or bought, because it was declared as war material. So instead, he started working for the ghetto. I touched myself to two factories, good working factories in the ghetto, not armed. And I was there in one, and the other also lived in nearby where the factory is. And you got to know the people, directors of the company, and arranged that he was became the transporter of the timber they needed for the manufacture of the these are huge buildings like barracks. And the other factor made furniture for the Germans. And all the workers were working for nothing. Didn't get any payment, none whatsoever. Because they thought that working for the Germans, these factories, will enable them to survive the war. It's only people who could afford to work without money could survive in these circumstances. None of them got a penny.
Did they get food?
No. So I worked for these factories without any remuneration at all. But the advantage was I got to know people, I got to know the ropes, and I got to know the men who helped me later to get the birth certificate for my wife. He became a friend of mine. He was a policeman, a Jewish policeman, who was wearing a uniform. I thought the only uniform he was wearing is a cap, a peaked cap, with navy blue surround here. And he was an officer. How he got there, but he never served in the police, but was always sitting in the office and talking to me. That's how we became so befriended.
What was his name?
Zisman. 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 We became very good friends. And I got to know a lot of other people. It was always necessary to know. When the Germans came to Warsaw, they had the information where what was there. A lot of Polish people were partially German, of German origin. They were called themselves Volksdeutsche, belonging to the German nation. German nation. And they had big factories, shops. One had, their names were German. Habe Busch and Schiele, they were the biggest brewery in Warsaw, was Habe Busch and Schiele, German. Christoph Brunnen's son was a German name. And they had a big shop for ironwork and so on. And Herse was a name, a shop, beautiful things like John Lewis, men's things for ladies and so on, very beautiful, very exclusive, at good prices. And then Ludwig Spies and Sons, Spies, S-P-I-E-S, double S actually, Ludwig Spies, then bookstores, and they knew all what was going on in Poland, and when the Germans came, and thousands of others, before it was not a German, they even could speak German. Some didn't. So the Germans had the information where what is in Poland. They had it before the war. So when they came to Warsaw, they had first of all assistants, fifth column, and also they had information where the biggest shops were, where the Jewish center was, where the big Jewish magazines were. Not all Jews were rich, I'll tell you this. There were a lot of poor Jews. Let's say 20% could do more or less, all right. 80% were not. I was working on office and then was not a rich man. My father was, couldn't make a good living in Poland, went to Israel in 1932. Came back and took his wife, not my mother, my mother died when I was 14 years old. And my sister took. So I had a problem less. They have to think about them.
What had happened about money? You know, had you been able to get your financial situation? Because
I had money, the money which I had for the business, I then started changing into gold. I had my wife's friend's father was a jeweler. Not a very open jewelry, but a manufacturing jewelry. And through him, I bought second-hand earrings. People sold for bread and so rings, chains, this type of thing, easily disposable. What about 1.5 kilo I had. Was quite a lot then. Because the Polish zloty, the more the Germans were losing, the higher the price of gold went up. Simple thing. Best in gold, they couldn't do it any better. So, by working in these factories, I got to know the leaders. There were Germans at the top of each factory. One was Hanmans making furniture, the other was name was Schilling. Schilling, a German name. He only gave his name. He didn't do anything. He didn't take anything, any profit. It was a German who wanted to help us. He gave us his name. I saw him twice coming to London, to Warsaw, for some purpose, I don't know what. And otherwise he didn't exist. But later, that from the big factory, Hanuman, had a friend, Mr. Szymbelski, a Polish name, but a German. Spoke German beautifully, and Polish well. I didn't want to admit. I remember that in the Schillings they call them the factories shops. So a shilling shop was at the head of it was a German Jew. Well, I must have been. He always accused me of something. This I didn't do it properly, this I didn't do in time, and so on. And he would take this to Mr. Schindelsky. He was laughing it off. He said, well, you know that they expected us. Those who did it always have various excuses. And give me a wink with the eye. Don't take it too much. It was a friend. We cannot send them. Mr. Jikorski, having a pass, used to come to the, when the walls were, when doors were closed, the gates to the ghetto were closed, he had a pass to come in. And I introduced him to some people in the shilling shop, where a lot of people, businessmen came, not the other shop, or Halman, but the
in Shilling. Yes, in Shilling.
In Shillings. He got to know a lot of people.